I hope things are going well with you. I hope you're counting your blessings. One of the things that I do now and then is when I'm kind of a little bit discouraged and kind of get my eyes off of what God is accomplishing and doing in my life, I open up the hymn book and I read that old hymn, Count Your Blessings. And, you know, we need to be reminded sometimes how blessed we are as a people. You know, count your blessings, name them one by one, and see what the Lord has done. Amen. Sometimes our eyes are so focused on our situations, our problems, that they become bigger than God. And so our eyes need to be on Him so that our problems and our situations will get smaller and smaller and smaller. Because we serve a big God. We serve a big God. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3 that there are going to be seasons in our lives. And I don't know what kind of season you're living through right now. But he wrote, for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I wish my wife would read that one. Amen. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time for peace. So Solomon is reminding us in this scripture that we're going to experience a patchwork of good times and bad times in our lives. And what makes it difficult in life is when we're going through these seasons is when those seasons begin to compile and they begin to add up those negative seasons in our life. I don't know if you've ever been in a dog pile. I don't know if you've ever been on the bottom of a dog pile. You can show my picture there somewhere. Amen. I'm the guy in the red shirt on the top. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I'm preaching for the rest of you, because I want you on top of the dog pile. Amen. It's fun when you're on the top, right? But it's not so fun when you're on the bottom of the dog pile. So when life comes at you full steam ahead, it causes us to ask some pertinent questions. When things are kind of piling up, and it kind of feels like you're being pressed down and you're on the bottom of the dog pile, you know, we ask questions. You know, it's not a sin to ask why. We kind of put it out there, though. Oh, that's a lack of it. No, when I'm going through things, I'd like to know the reason why I'm going through some things in my life. You know, Job went through a lot of things up through the 36th, 37th chapter of the book, and he had the question, why? And I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a clear-cut answer that God gave him. It was kind of an offhanded way that God said. He said to Job, have you considered? You know, he said, look, have you? Do you understand? He didn't say yes or no. How many know there's people that when you ask for an explanation, they want to take the long route? So God took four chapters to explain to Job just a simple question, why am I going through this? And so as I read through the book of Job, I don't know if there's a clear-cut answer to what Job is saying. I guess he comprehended some way and somehow what God was saying, that I'm in control, that everything's okay, I've got it, and just trust me. And so Job got his eyes on the Lord. He said, what? I have just heard about you, but now I see you with my own eyes. And so we need to come to that place where we're not just hearing about Jesus, but we have an understanding of who he is, that we see Jesus for ourselves. There are a lot of people sitting in churches that hear about Jesus, but they're not seeing Jesus. They're not realizing who he really is and what he can be in their lives. And so I want to consider that here today. If you feel like you're on the bottom of the dog pile today, that he doesn't want you to remain there. That he, above all, wants you to trust him. You know, there are people in our church that are going through things. There is an individual in our church, it just seems like one thing after another just keeps compounding in this person's life. They're not in the church because of the situations, and yet they have faith. They do love the Lord. They're in the scripture, but healing and things are not being supplied in their life. I have a dad that's in a nursing home today, and physically, overall, he's a healthy individual, but somehow he can't walk. He can't get his legs to function. And he was raised in the scripture. He was raised on faith. God healed him many times in the past. And again, there's that question, God, what are you doing? Why isn't he being healed? And so we need to understand that sometimes we don't always understand, but one thing we need to do is we need to trust him. In John chapter 12 and 13, the disciples felt like they were on the bottom of the dock, or at least they were going to be, because in chapters 12 and 13 leading up to John chapter 14, Jesus lays out some things that they're about to go through. He says there, Jesus told them that he was departing from them. He said, I'm going away. And so if, just put yourself in their shoes here today and understand that they had chosen to forsake everything and follow Jesus for 2.5, 3.5 years. They gave up their jobs. They walked away from their families. They followed Jesus. And here Jesus is saying, after they've committed to that, guys, guess what? I'm leaving you. Wow, what a blow. Jesus implied that he would suffer death by crucifixion. You know, what's sad is when we see the most godly people undergoing such incredible circumstances in their life. Saints that serve God all their life, and yet at the end of their life, there's nothing but suffering. And you kind of question some things. We ask those pertinent questions. He predicted that all of them would forsake him, and Peter would deny him. He pointed out that one of the 12 had decided to betray him. How many of you have been betrayed? How many of you have your heart broken because someone committed to you? You thought you were committed to them, and they forsook you. They betrayed you. Jesus portrayed a troubled demeanor. Could you imagine being around Jesus that last week, the pressure that was on him, the heaviness, the cloud that kind of just overlaid Jesus on that last week? Not only Jesus was feeling it, but his disciples were feeling it also. And he finally says, you cannot follow me now, but there will be a time that you can follow me later. There'll be a time where you'll be with me again. And so we lead up to John chapter 14. And so Jesus is preparing, he's assuring his disciples, he is making them a promise. He says, all these things are going to be compiled. You're going to be on the bottom of the dog pile in the next few days. Your world is going to be turned upside down. But he gives this promise in John 14. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Man, he just laid all this stuff out to them. Put yourself in their shoes. He just turned their world upside down. And he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me. Some of your scriptures say, believe in God, also believe in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If there were not so, would I have not told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be overcome. Don't let your hearts be overwhelmed. Jesus is prophesying. He is talking about something futuristically because they haven't even begun to be piled on. These things haven't even taken place that he's predicting. They are going to have a collision of seasons in their life. There is not going to be no deliverance. They are going to be praying the same thing that Jesus prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Be troubled, church, is a human reaction to adverse circumstances. And it is not a sin. It is not a sin to be troubled. It just means you're human. Just means you're human and you have a heart. We are people that have emotions. Jesus said in John 13:31, John writes and says, Jesus was troubled. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Verily, verily, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Jesus was facing the dog pile. He was going to be on the bottom. Jesus said these affirming words, and you need to hear it here this morning. Even though your heart is troubled, trust in God. Trust also in me. He has a message for you here this morning. He says, "I've got it. I've got you." As I said, most traditional translations write, "You believe in God, also believe in me." So I want to make a distinction here between what it is to believe and what it is to trust. And so I looked it up, and I'm just going to read you some things that someone on the internet wrote. And we know it's true. I had a reel show up on my phone that the Walmart down in Foxburg was flooded. And they had pictures and everything. So you can trust them. I didn't know there was a Walmart down there. I wish I would have known. I wouldn't have been traveling. But so there is a difference between believing and trusting. Understanding the difference between trust and belief is essential because they have different implications for our relationships, decisions, and actions. While both are important, they should not be confused or used interchangeably, even though we do. We use those words all the time. The Bible even interchanges them sometimes also. Belief is the acceptance that something is true or real, often without evidence or proof. Beliefs can be formed through personal experience, cultural and societal influences, and education. Beliefs can be positive or negative and can shape an individual's thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So it's believing, you don't even have to have evidence for belief. How many at one time believed that there was a Santa Claus? All three of us. Amen. We raised our girl. We didn't raise our kids believing in Santa Claus. But the outside influences kind of affected them. We didn't say there was no Santa Claus. We played the game like everybody else plays with their kids, that there's a Santa Claus. And my daughter was of the mindset that there was no Santa Claus, and so she had to tell our friends that there was no such thing as a Santa Claus. Some of your kids probably did the same thing. So don't point at my kids. But we were walking through the mall one day, and there was kids lined up to see Santa Claus sitting on his lap. And she goes, "Is there really a Santa Claus?" You see, our beliefs kind of change, right? It's not based necessarily on evidence or proof, right? Sometimes it's because we're conformed to what's going around us that we begin to believe things. Belief can also be influenced by emotions, biases, and other external factors, and it can change over time. I hope there's nobody here over the age of 5 in this room. Cover her ears. That there is no Santa Claus. I know that's shocked to some of you, but there is none. Okay. Beliefs can be deeply ingrained and difficult to change, even in the face of contradictory evidence. Beliefs can also be irrational and illogical and may not be supported by empirical evidence. Beliefs can be powerful motivators and can influence an individual's decision-making processes. Folks, since COVID 2020, we see this taking place. These social and moral issues that are going around, and you just have to shake your head and say, "Where is your brain?" Some of the stuff they believe is so idiotic that it's just unbelievable that anybody could be that deceived. But the secret is they do believe it. They have believed the lie. On the other side, at its core, trust is the belief that someone or something is reliable, truthful, and competent. Trust is built over time through consistent behavior and actions that prove one's trustworthiness. We also know that trust can be broken by a single action. We know that trust takes time to be built. But we also know that it only takes one action or one event to change the expectation of the truster. When trust is broken, it can be difficult to regain and may require significant effort on the part of the individual who broke it to rebuild. Trust is often associated with feelings of security, safety, comfort, and is fundamental component of human interaction. Jesus basically said to his disciples, even though you will go through troubling times, trust me. I have a proven track record with you guys. I have never let you down, and I'm not going to let you down now. After 38 years, I can say I truly trust my wife. And she has proven herself trustworthy over those years. It wasn't one day we got and stood before the church and before a preacher, before a congregation, and had wedding vows. But before that, we went to the courthouse, and I signed my life away. And she signed her life away. It's called a marriage license. It is a legal document. Along with that, and my will, and this is the scary part, she's even in control of my living will. She can say one day, pull the plug, and it'll be over. Thank you. That's encouraging. Even my financial investments, my home, my vehicles, my bank accounts, my retirement, my life insurance, and my credit cards also have her name on it. I am fully invested in this relationship with my wife. On our girls' birth certificates, it doesn't have their biological parents. It has our names. As Karen is the mother, me is the father. It is a legal document. We are partners in ministry. I wouldn't probably be in ministry today if it wasn't for the partnership I have with my wife. It's not that I believe in Karen. It's that I trust Karen. It sounds weird to say, I believe in Karen. Doesn't it? It's kind of weird. And so we understand that word trust. I trust my wife. My problems are her problems. And I may be her biggest problem. My happiness is her happiness. My success is her success. We took wedding vows, as most of you have, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. I trust Karen. Jesus comes along and he says, this is what I demand of you. This is some things you're going to have to face in life. We want Jesus to erase all the problems in our life and just, we want to go through carefree, but he never promised that. But what he did promise is that as you're going through it, trust me. I am going through it with you. Mark 8:34 says, then he called the crowd. And it goes on and says, and he also said, along with the disciples. So he had to consistently remind his disciples, not just those he was preaching at, but his disciples also, and said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves. They must give me all of themselves. They must give up themselves for my ways, take up their cross, and follow me. Jesus told his disciples, even though their hearts were troubled, you have trusted in God. They were raised Jews. They were raised in knowing God. He said, now I want you to trust in me. Jesus made him a promise. He made him a promise. He said, if you're going to trust me, there are some good things that are going to come out of this relationship. And you can read there, you can put up those verses 2 and 3. We read that. He has gone to prepare a place for us. That is our goal. That is our purpose. That's where we're heading here today. How many know that's futuristic? How many know we just have reservations there? We have reservations there. We're heading there. And the only way we get there is if we continually walk with Jesus and trust him. He says, where everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. You know the way to where I am going. So trusting Jesus is so easy when we're living in the good season, right? When life's clicking, everything's going well in our life. It is so easy just to say, hallelujah, praise God. But when those seasons change, we find it sometimes very difficult to trust in him. But that's where the bottom line is. Do we trust him with every aspect of our lives? It's easy to say when everything's going well, but when things aren't flowing our way, do we trust him? Because that's what he's asking us to do. Trust God, trust me. Proverbs 3:5, and this is in the New Living Translation, says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Trust, trust, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Folks, we're pretty good at our own understanding. With experience comes what? Some pride. With it, we can handle it. But it goes on, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Folks, in our mind, because we've experienced something, we can kind of map it out ourselves. We think we can accomplish it. I've been through this. I've been down this road before. I can do it. But he says, seek his will. He'll show you what path to take. And I guarantee the way he brought you through the first time is not the way he's going to take you through it the second time. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. That's what we've done in the church. Well, I know what the scriptures say. I know the promise of God. I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. The first edition of the New Living says, then you will gain renewed health and vitality. Ooh, I like that. Renewed health and vitality. I don't think we appreciate what the disciples went through during this time. I really don't. I think we just kind of breezed through it. But folks, it was a devastating time in the life of these individuals. I can't imagine Jesus sharing these things with us. Can you imagine in a relationship with your spouse having this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, that they come up to you and say, hey, I'm leaving. Some of you have experienced that. You know how devastating that is. When you watch individuals in your life suffering, and you can't do anything about it but sit on the sidelines and encourage and quote scripture and pray, it's tough, isn't it? To know that we have people in our life that spouse could walk away any time, forsake us, leave us, deny us, and just go about their own business. How many feel what your mate is going through? When they're suffering, when they're hurting, don't we suffer and hurt with them? We feel the weight of what they're going through. We've all been to places in our life where we've been on the bottom of a dog pile. And if you've been on one physically, if you had friends, someone falls down, we just yell, dog pile, right? And everybody jumps on them. And so, if you're on the bottom of that pile, and you can see the look on that guy's face on the bottom, how many know it's very suffocating to be on the bottom? How many know with all that weight sitting upon you, you can't even breathe? It's heavy. Probably you look at that right there, you're talking about 500, 1,000 pounds, 1,200 pounds laying on that guy. That is a lot of weight. And when you're the guy on the bottom, you are totally helpless. However you landed, that's how you stay. If your arms were folded up underneath you, which is very bad, or if your arms are far spread, you can't move, you can't change that situation. You are helpless. You are immovable in whatever position you started in, that's the position you will remain until they get off of you. It can be painful. And how many know when you're on the bottom and you can't breathe, you also can't talk? And you're down, right? Trying to get them to get off. Sometimes our circumstances can make us feel that way also. It kind of paralyzes us, right? It's suffocating. It's heavy. We feel helpless. And it's hard to get the train moving again. It hurts. And sometimes we get to the place where we can't even pray. We don't even have words to describe what we're going through. And Jesus comes along and says, trust me. Trust me. If we apply this definition that we talked about of trust to the Bible, it tells us that Jesus is trustworthy. I mean, right in the scripture he said to his disciples, trust me, trust me, trust me. And that he has a purpose for every activity in the various seasons of our life. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That when we're hurting and when we're going through things, that there is actually a purpose. There is something good going to come out of this. That's hard to comprehend when we're in the middle of it, isn't it? Because we're not thinking at the end result. We're just thinking of relief. We just want to get through. Not what God's doing in us, for us, and what he wants to do through us. We read that definition. Trust is the belief that someone or something is reliable, truthful, and competent. Trust is built over time through consistent behavior and action that prove one's trustworthiness. Trust is often associated with feelings. How many know we all have feelings? And when we're in the middle of something, how many know we express feelings? It squeezes it out of us, doesn't it? Feelings of security, safety, and comfort. And it is a fundamental component of the human interaction. It's in those times especially that Jesus shows up and we can have some interaction with him. Trust, the first thing that Jesus asked his disciples. As I was reading the scripture, there's 5 points to this thing. And the first thing he says, okay, guys, this is what you're going to go. You're going to be on the bottom of the dog pile here in a little bit. He says, trust me. The first thing he says, trust me. I don't know where you're at here this morning, but he's saying, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Being on the bottom of the dog pile is not pleasant. It is not the place anyone wants to be. Like you, I want to be king of the mountain. I want to be the guy on the top. I want to be the guy on the top. How many know that Jesus wants you to be the guy on the top? To be the king of the mountain, how many know you have to fight to stay the king of the mountain? How many know there are people that want to knock you off the top of the mountain because they want to be the king? And how many things in life want to knock you off the top of that mountain? We have to live, work, and fight through the tough seasons of our lives. Because, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the bottom of the dog pile. I don't want to be there. Sorry, Linda, hurt your ears back there. She was covering her ears. Are we willing to fight to stay on top? The disciples did survive the dog pile, and they did receive the promise. So if you come. So Jesus is saying to us here this morning, as Solomon said, there are seasons in our life. There is the good, the bad, there's the living, there's the dead, there's the building, there's the tearing down. There's all these different seasons in our life. But Jesus comes along and says, yes, you're going to have these seasons, but do not allow your hearts to be troubled. Don't let your hearts be overwhelmed. Don't allow discouragement to come in. We don't have to be on the bottom of that pile and stay there. We may find ourselves there, but we are not to remain there. Seasons change. Seasons change. All I can say here this morning, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't stay at the bottom of the pile. He wants you to be the king or queen of the mountain. He promised you that we could do all things through who? Through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength. We are more than conquerors. We like those verses. We are conquerors through who? Jesus Christ. And so, just preparing for this dinner, church, has been good for me in my theology, because, you know, we read the Old Testament, we read the epistles, but how many know that Jesus is in the Gospels? And what are we to preach? The Gospel. And who's the hero of the Gospels? Jesus. So this is helping me center my theology and my life, and even maybe even the direction of my preaching is to get back lifting the name of Jesus. And he said, if I be lifted up, if you talk about me, I'll draw. Paul said some good things. Peter said some good things. But how many know that's all based on what Jesus said and what Jesus did? If you're in this house today and you're going through something and you would love some prayer today, we want to pray with you this morning. And if you feel like you're on the bottom of that dog pile here this morning, help us lift some of that weight off you this morning. Let your brothers and sisters in Christ pray for you this morning and say, hey, we're here to encourage you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to be there for you. I'm not going to ask you to bow your head. I'm going to just ask you to move here this morning. If there's something you would love for us to agree with and pray with you with this morning, because the message here this morning is, trust me. Trust me. Jesus is saying to this body this morning, trust me. We can go back to that Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Some of us have been depending on our own understanding. We've been picking our own path out, trying to solve our situations. But it says, seek his will in all you do. Seek him, seek his face, and he'll show you. He will show you what path to take. You need to find a path this morning, his path. Don't just sit there and look at me here this morning. Move if God is talking to you here this morning. Move to him this morning. Take a step of faith. And I ask some of you here just to stand up with these individuals. Gather around them. Let's pray. Let's find out why they're here this morning. Let's encourage them this morning. People looking for answers, church. We have the answer. We have the answer. As I said, there are people that we know and we can think of this morning that are questioning, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? God has placed somebody in your mind this morning, I just ask you to begin to pray for that individual. If it's not you this morning, you know people in your life that are struggling, and it just seems like one thing after another is happening in their life, and they're discouraged this morning. Lift them up by name this morning. Hallelujah.